do that. Just to make sure everybody was fully engaged today. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to everyone. I was going to, as a demonstration, thought about getting a glass of juice or wine and pouring it into a towel to show how quickly something like that gets dispensed. And in Paul's words here, am I a little loud? I feel a little loud. Better? Okay. Paul refers to himself as a drink offering. And and what he's saying here in this verse is that as quickly as something like that would occur, with other offerings there were, much more entailed activities with regard to offering an animal in a sacrifice. But a drink offering, right, is just, they would just take wine and they would pour it and it would be done and over with. And Paul's saying here, as he talks about working out our salvation and him having a role in that, as he was talking to the Philippians, he was saying as quickly as I would be done, I'd be willing to do that, to work with you in that effort, because working out one's salvation is critical. It is something that is ongoing throughout our lives. Have you ever found yourself just kind of floating along? This is participation time. Anybody in this audience ever found yourself just kind of floating along in your religious life? I'll wait till every hand goes up. Because if your hand doesn't go up, I'm going to pair the rest of us up with you. But it happens. And it can be very subtle the way it occurs. You can just kind of find yourself floating along day after day, week after week, year after year, in your walk with Jesus, in your service in the kingdom. Years ago, we used to go down to Myrtle Beach as a family, pretty much every year. We did that for quite a while. And we used to have these canvas rafts. You all remember those? They would sell at the gift shops. They're about yay long, and they were canvas, and you could get them, and you could ride the waves on them, right? And so, remember one year, I was out. I guess I was probably in my upper teens, so at that point in time, I was interested in tanning and that kind of thing. Now I don't even like to go to the beach because it's sandy and sticky. But I remember being out on the raft, just go out, past the breakers and out there floating around, and I laid on it, and you kind of got the sun beating on your face, and you kind of got the bob with the waves going on, and I just laid out there, and I don't know that I ever really went to sleep, but I just was calm and just kind of was hanging, and when I finally looked up, the family and our beach house where we were staying was nowhere to be found, I was about 2 miles down from that. The current and the wind had just moved me right along, and so it was quite a hike to get back up. But that's an example of how we can kind of just drift. If we're not anchored in, and if we are not actively paying attention to our lives and to our walk and to our relationship, we can find ourselves calmly and peacefully way far away from where we're supposed to be. Spiritual drift happens the same kind of way. And what it looks like, in my mind, it looks like any given Sunday. We can come and go from services. We can come take communion. Check. We can come sing songs, check. We can put our money in the tray, check. We can close our eyes and think about whatever while someone's leading us in prayer, check. By the way, thank you for your prayer. You did a fantastic job, Kevin. You know, we can listen to the sermon. Check, 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 check. But really not be engaged in a relationship with God and Christ and His Spirit the way we should be. You know what I'm talking about? Been there? Hands? Yeah, it's getting better. We've all been there. And you might find yourself there today. And again, it's something that can occur. And God knows that it can occur. Paul knew it could occur. You know, everybody who's walked the walk knows that it can happen. You'll find yourself where you really shouldn't be. Even though geographically, you're not like me on the raft, right? You could be here geographically, but spiritually, you could be miles down the beach, right? Around people that you don't know, landscape that you don't recognize. And so, we have to watch out for that. You know, we could be at church, but if you look, we might still be in our mind wanting to hang on to things, hang on to pieces of the world, right? Not giving everything we've got, you know, to God. And that sounds like a lot, but that's what He expects, isn't it? He gave everything He had. He expects us to give everything we have, everything that we are to Him in our service and our relationship with Him. You know, we can be holy, right? But we're also being unholy. Yearning for the distant land. You know, the story of the prodigal son in John 15? That boy's feet, they were in the sand or the dirt and the dust of the distant country long before he ever got there. That's where his mind was. Geographically, he was at home with his father, but in his mind, he wanted to be somewhere else. He wanted to be off living a different life, living under different rules. And so his mind had taken him there. Then eventually, his feet followed. And he found himself in a distant, distant land. Keeping hold of our sins is another way that we end up in a spiritual drift, right? We're kind of committed, but we're still carrying some baggage with us, right? Holding on to it like grim death, just not really wanting to turn completely loose of it. And it's interesting, if you look up behind me, you know, the two things that Paul mentions in this passage is grumbling and arguing or disputing. And I think that tells volumes. It speaks volumes of what really gets into the lives and the minds of us, right? We will get sidetracked from our relationship with God and one another and start complaining over and over. Complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about the speaker, complaining about the song leader, complaining about, you know, the people sitting in your pew, right? Glad to see you all have got one. Got your spot now, right? But that stuff happens. And when that's going on, that stuff gets us drifting away from where we're supposed to be, because that then becomes our focus. We start wanting to serve our agendas. We want to start serving our self-interests. We want to start serving religion instead of having a relationship with the Father. And so we've got to be mindful. We've got to be very well aware of where we are and who we are and what our spiritual mindset really is. I want us to look at a passage. Takes us back to the temple when God established the tabernacle with Israel and with Moses. And all the you know, the parts and pieces that were put in place. But I want us to focus on the bronze basin for a moment. In Exodus 30, beginning of verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, You shall also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water, so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet, so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations. This idea that he lays out here teaches us what and how God wants us to be when we are with him. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be holy and righteous as we approach him. Now, when we're drifting, right, in our thoughts and our minds and our actions, we know that we're not right. And God knows that we're not right. But then the religious side of us, right, while we're drifting along, like a tumbling tumbleweed, I was going to put that up. Old Fester from Gunsmoke sings that, right? But that's the idea of it, just drifting along like a tumbling tumbleweed. We then want to try to invoke that relationship. You with me? You know, we want to invoke that relationship with God as if it's right. But when we're drifting, it's not right. It's just not quite right, right? And God wants us to be right. And when we approach him, right, he wants us to be of right mind and right spirit, right? To be living for him, to be living with him, to be his, right? He calls us to be holy and wants us to be holy. But we find ourselves at those times, you know, I taught a lesson years ago. Jim and Irma and I still talk about it once in a while, about, you know, the idea of falling into one of those roadside outhouses, right? And what kind of mess you'd be in if you fell into one of those. Any of you, you know, you youngsters may or may not have ever seen one of them, but those of us that have know what I'm speaking of. But the idea was that you had fallen down into that septic hole, and someone took you out, brought you up out of it, and cleaned you, scrubbed you, washed you, gave you new clothes, perfume, and then you went back and got in it again. That's the idea of re-entering a life of sin that brings about drift, right? And we don't want to do that, you know. And so the idea of approaching God clean, that's what Jesus is all about, providing that cleansing for us on a continual basis, right? But in doing that, he expects us, right, to be on task. He expects us to be living, right, like we're worthy of his offering to us. And so we don't want to just walk around dirty and unclean. Paul ties this idea of working out our salvation into a fatherly relationship. He tells us, you know, in this passage that Jared read for us, that God's working in us. He says, work out your salvation, but God's working. God's working in you. God's working with you. You know, he's giving you his Spirit. He's giving you his Son. You're not in it alone. You never are in it alone. Utilize what he's given you, right? He's given us the Spirit to guide us and to help us and to comfort us. He's given us an anchor of Jesus Christ as our salvation point. You know, he was our sacrifice. We saw the power of his resurrection. We are to hold, we're to hold to that. But Paul, you know, we know oftentimes references himself as a father to folks. And, you know, there are physical fathers, right? And there are spiritual fathers. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not. But every one of us had a beginning somewhere with our faith. Somebody touched us. Somebody spoke to us. Somebody witnessed to us. And it began. We talked about that this morning in our class. We looked at John 9 with the man that was born blind. And then ultimately, because Jesus healed him, he ended up being cast out of the temple. He was an outcast in his community. Right? But Jesus sparked a moment in that guy's life, and then his faith grew from that. Same is true with every one of us. Same is true with every one of us. And what Paul's telling us is that faith that began is a faith that comes from fathers, and it's one that we need to hold to, and it's one that we need to continue to work until the end. Abraham, referred to as a father of faith. And throughout Scripture, he is one that is pointed to as our lineage because of what he did and the impact that his faith and actions had on generations throughout history. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so, you know, Abraham, we know, did an amazing thing that I believe every one of us that have ever talked about say, I could not do that. But Abraham did. He did what God asked him to do. And then Isaac, not to be forgotten in his story, right, trusted in his father. Isaac had developed a faith of his own throughout his life that he had seen from his dad. And it led him to that point to where he had a choice to make. And he chose to trust. He chose to have faith. He allowed himself to be tied and placed on an altar and have a knife raised above him by his father. He trusted. And that faith began with his father. Abraham had shown him throughout his life what it was like to be faithful, what it was like to trust God, and what it was like to have a relationship with God that would lead someone, right, to act in such a way, right, that they were working out their salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what that means. That they were doing what was asked of them in the moment by God, and they were being faithful to Him. Romans 4. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Fully convinced, I mean, do you hear the language as he describes Abraham? No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew in strength in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The Greek, it's a really a weird pronunciation, bless you. But the word that Paul chose to use when he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, means to accomplish. It means to bring something to a conclusion. All right? To finish. To see it all the way through. And where our eternal life is concerned, we have got to stay on point. Right? I mean, life comes and goes. I mean, we've got another little baby down here. And, you know, just yesterday, you know, that we were bringing ours home. Life moves quickly. We all know that as we get older. It's hard to believe when you're younger, but trust me, it does. You know, and so we don't wait, right? I had a friend I grew up with. I think I've shared this with you before. I had a friend I grew up with once that, you know, we were young. He said, you know, someday we'll be Christians like our parents, but for now. And just had it in his mind that it was going to be something that just was automatic. But it doesn't work that way. You know, you just don't wake up someday and you're a faithful Christian. You work at it every day. You work at it every day. You stay on task. You stay focused. You pay attention to your life and to your actions, to your thoughts, to your intentions. Right? Otherwise, you can find yourself drifting along. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's telling us to take it seriously, right? We take all kinds of things serious, right? You know, we'll pay a great deal of attention to things in our lives, to work, right? To mapping out vacations, right? To making sure we get whatever it is that we want. But we've got to put the real emphasis on our eternal lives, right? Because Satan wants us to feel at peace while we're drifting. He wants us to feel the sun in our face as we're drifting, right? He wants us to feel content as we're drifting. But God tells us to work it out, to see it through with fear and trembling. Take nothing in this life any more serious than that. And then he goes on to say, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And so, the faith that comes from fathers is what starts us down those paths, right? The example that we see starts us down those paths, right? It can sustain us, but ultimately, each and every one of us has to work out our own salvation. We have to see it through. Stay on top of it. Right? Make it something that's part of our daily activity. Right? It's not something that just happens. It's something that we obtain with intent. With intent. To stay anchored and to work on it. I've just got a few observations. We've had a Bible study in our home consistently, unless I'm traveling, for 30 years now. And we have food, and we have fellowship, and we have study. And we have some very strong relationships that have developed during that time amongst the folks. And folks will always say, thanks for having us in. Thanks for cooking. All right. But we'll always tell them, Steph and I will, you know, thank you for coming, because we're the ones that really gain. We're the ones that really gain. I need that type of relationship. I need that type of activity to help stay focused. Otherwise, I'd be a drifter, right? I need to be teaching, preaching, hosting, spending time with my brothers and sisters. Otherwise, I'd be drifting, right? It is not something that just happens. You have to work at it. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to come to my study to be part of it, but you got to figure out what works for you, right? You know, just coming and going from the building is not enough for me. Just coming in to make sure I check, that's not enough for me. You know, I have to develop some things that take me into deeper relationships and deeper thought and deeper study. That's why God gives us one another, And we have to find the things that will sustain us. You know, we have to work with fear and trembling to incorporate into our lives the things that sustain us, the things that keep us anchored, right? That keep us on task, that keep us focused, that keep us mindful of what's really at stake. It's just a bizarre thing in our eldership meetings over the years that we struggle with is visitation and follow-up with folks. And we've had, I'm going to say countless because that's a ridiculous word, you could count them, but we've had many, many, many discussions and debates about whom we should call, whom we should not call, whom we should visit, whom we should not visit, because they don't want to hear from you. They don't want you to come visit them. You know, don't want you to email them. You'll forgive me, but I find that ridiculous. I find it ridiculous that if I'm adrift, I want someone to come find me. Do you? Kevin does. Right? I mean, if I'm taking my salvation seriously, I would want to be accountable to some other folks. I'd want some folks looking out for me. I wouldn't want to be worried about whether or not they're going to email me or call me or come visit me. There's too much at stake, right, to be an island unto yourself. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. We have to help one another. We have to be there for one another. We have to be edifying, building up, strengthening, right, and preparing one another for the long haul that's in front of us. So, I'll leave the lesson with you at this point. But how seriously do you take your salvation? Make it priority one. Make it priority one and do the things that you need to do. Make a list. Be actively pursuing things, activities, people that keep you grounded, that keep you anchored, right? Because it is your soul. It's the only one you have. Guard it well. Guard it well. With that, we'll extend the invitation. If you're here today and have never put Christ on, we would encourage you to do that. We have water ready behind us. Baptism is an act of faith. The water doesn't save you. The faith in what God did does. And He simply says, respond to what I ask. That's the first step in working out your salvation. If you're here and you need help, struggling with something, battling things, you can come. You can catch one of us afterwards. Talk to a friend. Work it out. Don't just drift, because drifting is not good. We're called to be anchored, and we need to be. So if you would come while Robin leads us in song. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. Unless Robin wants to.